While in Scotland with the Oklahoma Ag Leadership Class 15 International Travel Experience, had the opportunity to hear from a representative from the Roslyn Institute. Now, that doesn't really ring any bells, but perhaps something that would ring a bell is the famous cloned sheep, Dolly. Roslyn Institute was responsible for Dolly, and we learn a little bit more about that as well as some of the things they're currently up to as we visited with Dr. Patricia Hart, who's their Vice President of Communications and Scientific Activities for the Institute. Some of the things that you were mentioning to this group today are just mind-boggling that your organization has had a hand in. The one that I know everybody in the entire world as far as agriculture is concerned has heard about is Dolly.
Sure is. Now, she's our most famous output, but of course we've been involved in sort of some of the key breeding strategies and the key developments of genetic modification and new biotechnologies for the last nearly 100 years now. So we're very proud of Dolly, but we've got a lot more to us than meets the eye, certainly.
Now, you're kind of ground zero for a lot of things that have happened in the disease arena for agriculture. The mad cow disease outbreak from the 80s, 90s, around 2000, that time frame, and then, of course, foot and mouth disease. But BSE in particular, you've had a lot of research in that arena.
We have. The neurobiology division of the Roslyn Institute stemmed from the neuropathogenesis unit, who were in the 60s originated so that they could study scrapie in sheep. And they were key in discovering some of the genetic susceptibility inherent in scrapie in sheep, and through that knowledge developed the National Scrapie Plan and have managed to certainly reduce the incidence of scrapie in the UK, but it's not yet eradicated, and we're seeing new atypical forms coming out in the UK and elsewhere in the world. So they also were involved in making the link between BSE and new variant CJD during the 80s and 90s, when it was believed that new variant CJD was caused through consumption of BSE-infected beef. So the links between us at the Institute and the scientists at the Institute and the scientists at the National CJD Surveillance Unit, also in Edinburgh, are very tight, and it's been a key to the success of that particular division of the Institute.
More contemporary, maybe some of your work in the genetically modified animal activities. Tell me a little bit about that.
So in terms of genetic modification, while we don't any longer undertake cloning work at the Roslyn Institute, what we've done is we've taken the technologies that were developed during that time in terms of stem cell technology, in terms of DNA manipulation of the embryo, and we've developed those technologies, and we can now create genetically modified large animals from pigs. We're looking at developing GM cattle, and we've had very recent success that was reported last year in production of GM poultry. We now have a poultry line that is resistant to bird flu. It's not so much resistant as it can't spread it due to addition to the chicken genome of a decoy molecule that interferes with the flu virus replication machinery. So it'll stop the spread of bird flu in flocks around the world, although the birds themselves are still susceptible. So it's work that we can now add to and pursue with different virus diseases, other diseases. We can develop genetic modification technologies such that we might be able to improve production in birds and in animals. So we just have to refine the technologies behind that now and take the public with us on that. A lot of the sort of the hindrances to us now are going to be public opinion on production of genetic modified animals, just the same as there's some objections to genetically modified crops. So there's a big public engagement exercise to be had on that, and our scientists are working very hard to interact with the public and educate them a little bit more, give them some views to play with.
So indeed, you recognize, as we do on the other side of the Atlantic, that this is really a public perception battle as much as anything, then?
I think that's true. I think we have to work with the public just the same as we have to work with the politicians, because ultimately you can produce genetically modified foods of any kind of variety, but you have to get it past the administrations and the approval authorities before they're going to be of any benefit to the population in general. So to get the politicians on side, you definitely have to get the public on side, and it's just a matter of improving the information that's available to them to allow them to make educated views on genetic modification, I think.
Okay. One last question. From what you've seen working with the scientists at the Roslyn Institute, is this safe technology?
I believe it's safe technology. There's work to be done with it yet. We've got a lot of proofs of principles that we need to do, and the scientists are the first to admit that. But certainly from what I know from my own scientific background and from what I've been had explained to me by the scientists producing this technology, I see that, you know, with full development and full testing these technologies, that they will be absolutely safe to go out into the food chain all in good time.
Dr. Patricia Hart of the Roslin Institute visiting with us after her presentation to Class 15 of the Oklahoma Ag Leadership Program. Reporting from the OALP International Travel Experience, I'm Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.